Good morning and welcome to our worship. Today we begin the end time Sundays of the church here. Today is the Last Judgment Sunday. Next week is Saints Triumphant. And finally we'll close with Christ the King Sunday. And so today we focus on the day the Lord returns and he renders the final verdict. Heaven for believers, hell for unbelievers. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved children of God, let us come before our Lord in confession, bold in our honesty, and assured of our forgiveness. We pray. As we await the day of judgment, gracious God, we are mindful of our sins. In search of our own happiness, we have neglected the commands of your word and have turned from you in thought, word, and in deed. We have ignored the cries of the poor, the oppressed, and the lost. We're sorry for our sins, Lord. We ask you to forgive us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us rejoice as we wait for our Lord's coming. We are forgiven, and we are free. Amen. We turn to the Word of God. The first lesson we're going to turn to is the epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And there the Apostle Paul encourages us to make the most of our time. We begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, you're not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. This is the Word of God. And we hear another lesson from the Gospels. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. The evangelist Luke encourages us to serve the Lord with gifts that he has given to us. We begin reading at verse 11. While they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable. Because Jesus was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Jesus said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'Take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him, give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they replied, he already has 10. Well, he said, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. This is the gospel of our Lord. With that, then, we turn to our message for today. The message comes from the Old Testament book of Malachi, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 6. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel? See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. This is God's word. Surely the day is coming. What day are you so excited about that you just can't wait until that day comes? For some, maybe it's your birthday. Or how about maybe it's Thanksgiving and the kids or maybe the grandkids are going to be coming? Or how about Christmas? Is that the day you're excited about? Just can't wait for it to come? Well, most of all, and best of all, is the day when Jesus comes again. But let's flip the coin around and listen, look at those words again. Surely the day is coming. This time the day is coming and you can't wait to get it over with. It's a day that's been hanging over your head and has filled you with great anxiety. Maybe it's the day you're having surgery. Maybe it is your birthday. Or how about a major exam? But most of all, and worst of all, the day when Jesus comes again. My friends, by God's grace and God's grace alone, the day coming, Judgment Day, the last day, fills us with excitement and joy. In the time that the Lord gives us until he comes again, the last prophet of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, teaches us how to live on this side of heaven. And the first lesson that Malachi teaches us comes out in the first couple of verses. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evil doer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a branch or a root will be left to them. Malachi's first lesson obviously refers to those who had rejected the Lord. Malachi calls them arrogant. They're filled with pride. They puff themselves up and they push God out of the picture. And pride is evident in three major areas of our lives: in worship, in money, in morals. In worship, those who puff themselves up, have a lack of interest or enthusiasm coming to the Lord's house. In money, well, money and the things money buys become their first love. In morals, well, letting the devil just bring them down by mixing with the world, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you live, like everyone else. The picture that Malachi paints is not a pretty one. And because we haven't rejected God, perhaps you might be thinking, well, I'm not a part of this picture. If you worship the Lord with undivided attention, if you always give him the best of your time, your talents, your treasures, well, then you're not. If you've never compromised your morals, you are not. If, however, you're like the rest of us sinners, then you are part of the picture. To be more blunt, you are a part of the picture. Malachi is teaching us to think about the last day. He wants us to be aware, to be ready. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And the book of Malachi points to all the books of the New Testament. The New Testament refers to the second coming of Christ in over 300 verses, roughly one out of every 13 verses. Judgment Day is the subject that Jesus touched on in his preaching and his teaching more than any other subject. Why? So that we are ready. Malachi says, take God seriously. People do a lot of things while they're driving. They talk. They text on their phones. They look around at the scenery. They listen to the music. They eat. They check themselves out in the rearview mirror. They turn around and they yell at the kids. Sometimes they even apply makeup. Some people don't take driving as seriously as they should because they forget lives are at stake. Well, Malachi teaches us that lives are at stake. He teaches us about our priorities. Our world bombards us with stuff. Stuff to do, stuff to buy, stuff to occupy our time. And more as children of God, as Christians looking ahead to heaven, we need to keep our priorities straight. God, family, and everything else. Well, Malachi's teaching continues. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The picture that Malachi conveys there is healing. Healing not of the body, but of our soul. And that healing comes through the forgiveness of sin. That trembling soldier, that prison guard, he asked life's most important question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer was nothing. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. We don't do anything to be saved because the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, has done it all. And then the verse goes on, says you will leap, go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Oh, growing up on a farm, you could picture this so easily. But if you haven't grown up on a farm and you haven't seen the calves being released from a winter locked up in the stall, picture children when the school bell rings and it's recess time. They come running out of that school building to the playground, laughing and running and cheering and leaping for joy. So what does this picture convey? The joy and the freedom that we as believers have from sin and the guilt of sin, freedom from death and the fear of death. We can do what we want. And what do we want to do? Serve our Lord. In addition to joy, Malachi also speaks of vindication. Verse 3, then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. By vindication, Malachi doesn't mean that we're going to rub the unbeliever's nose in the dirt on the last day. We're not going to go around joyfully saying, na 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 na, I was right, you were wrong, I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. No, we don't wish hell on anyone. What Malachi is speaking about is that we're going to share in Christ's victory. Monday night, if you watched the Arizona Cardinal football team, you saw them win. Beat the Dallas Cowboys. And if someone would have asked me the next day, how did the Cardinals do? I would have said, we won. What do you mean we won? I wasn't a part of the game. But as fans, we are a part of the victory. We share in that victory. As Christians, we didn't have any part of Christ's victory, but we share it. It's a booster shot to our confidence. Heaven is our home, won for us by Jesus. We share in that victory. And another lesson from Malachi is the one that he points to. He says, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. Since I have been conducting devotions at Rusty's Morning Star Ranch, where quite a few elderly autistic folks live, I've tried to learn more about autism so that I might better understand those who are there. I found that one mark of autistics is that they cannot tolerate being touched. Yet something that many people with autism enjoy and seek is bodily pressure. One autistic author said that when she was young and at her aunt's ranch, she had a panic attack. And she asked her aunt to squeeze her in that cattle chute. And within seconds, being squeezed in that cattle chute, she became calm. Autistics become calm by finding ways to be securely wrapped or wedged into tight places. That pressure frees them from the outside stimuli that bombards them and causes them to panic. That's how God's law works in us. God's law wraps us in a way that God wants us to live, and it helps us to remain calm and steady when the outside stimuli is bombarding us. God's law serves as a guide and frees us. It helps us. And there's one more final lesson. Verses 5 and 6. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. The prophet Elijah is a reference to John the Baptist. John the Baptist who prepared the way for the Lord. And just as in John's day, there is still so much that is good in our world. Oh, it is so easy for us to become very cynical about our world, to look only at the bad. Malachi reminds us that God's word works and that there are so many good families and good people. There are so many families that love each other, worship together, and share together. And in these families are Christians like you. Christians who serve. And the best way for us to serve is to share. Judgment Day is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And we have God's word to warn us, to remind us, to get us ready, and God's word to comfort us. God is so very close. He is not a distant God. He is close. He cares. He cares about our heartaches and frustrations and our fears. God is watching. God loves us. Surely the day is coming. And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the prophet Malachi to teach us today. We can't wait until we join you in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, we confess with joy that your unfailing love has redeemed us. Around us we see the birth pangs of the last day. There's war and famine and earthquakes and false prophets, spiritual apathy. Lord, keep us faithful to your word. Send your spirit to strengthen our faith so that we are always prepared for your son's return as judge. And build our fellowship of love as brothers and sisters in faith. Heavenly Father, we eagerly wait for Jesus to come again to make all things new. May he find us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, faithfully enduring to the end through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this all in the name of our Savior who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.